Tonight, we have a special treat for you. So we've extended the Aussie Mentor podcast to include a subject which is dear to a lot of people who are in the industry and who attended the Tech Ed this year. We've got the presence of Matt Harding and Alistair Templeton, who were winners of this year's Demo Jam in Las Vegas. And we've also got myself, Tony DeThomasis, and of course, the one and only Graham Robbo. How are you, Robbo?
I'm good, mate. How are you? I'm very good, thanks.
And Matt, how are you going?
Very good, thank you.
And the famous Alistair Templeton, we finally get you on a podcast. We're finally going to get you in SDN. Is that right, mate?
I guess if you took a photo, you might.
So the subject of tonight, we're going to tell the listeners about a little bit of behind the scenes of what happened for the Demo Jam 2010. So can we start off? Can we start off with a little bit of information about how the idea was hatched? How did we cook this up? Can I throw to you, Al? I know that a lot of your best work, mate, happens in coffee shops and happens
this
in
definitely happens in coffee shops.
In coffee shops, can we say that? Is that a fair comment?
Yeah. It is absolutely a fair comment. I think I spent most of my life in a coffee shop.
How did it come up?
Well, I think this year's Demo Jam was an embryonic step from the submission that you and I did last year, Tony. Where Tony and I put together an entry last year. And in fact, it's not even that. I've probably been to, I don't know how many Demo Jams, maybe four or five. Now, I've certainly spent a lot of time standing with Matt, observing the Demo Jam and going, we should be in this, we should do this. So I think... 2 years ago, Tony and I had some time while we were at a previous job, and we put together what we hoped was a Demo Jam engine that didn't make it through. So this year we came around, we put a concerted effort in, and I guess there was a discussion with Tony, and obviously Matt and I spent some time together, and we thought mobile would be the way to go this year. Mobile seemed like a fairly hot topic, so we sort of thought we'd see what we could do with a mobile solution. There was an iPad-based solution in the end. And I think discussions with Matt sort of brought out the HTML5 part, and we sort of thought, well, Matt likes the challenge as to, what can we do with it, and we thought, we'll see what we can do, and we put together what we thought was a pretty good solution. So
we had a total different angle to begin with, didn't we, Al?
I think we did, yeah.
And just suddenly this HTML5 thing, hang on.
I think we wanted to do mobile, but I don't think we were thinking about HTML5, and then we kind of did some reading, done on the internet, and... And that sort of came out, well, hang on, this looks like it might do what we want to do, and we prototyped, and we said, this would be right. So I guess they just morphed into a decent, simple solution. So, that was good.
So can we talk about some of the influences? Obviously, Al, your influences were your prior experiences, that is your last Demo Jam entry, which didn't quite make it. And Matt, I think your influences as well was standing in the crowd with me and Al and looking and thinking we might have something to rival some of these guys. And, of course, we had some other external influences, from Twitter. You want to give us a couple of the influences that may have helped shape your ideas and how you approached it?
You're right. Obviously being in the audience previously was certainly a driver to, the wanting to participate. I think the driver for the particular solution was probably just, looking for, I think, there were two things that we felt that I think worked for us this year, and that was obviously, good technology, but also good use case. And I think they were the drivers was once we settled on what we wanted to demonstrate with the technology, I think that influenced a lot about then how we did it. We knew that there was no point building something really, really... to my mind, there were better technical solutions on the night, but as a whole show, I think we demonstrated the technology better with a use case where I could use that where I live or, where I work. And I think that drove us the way that we then built and obviously delivered the solution.
It did feel like Demo Jam was becoming very salesy in the last few years. This year, I think, was different, but I would see things up there and say, "Yeah, look, that's just using the technology that's there today, and in a way that's kind of useful in that scenario." We wanted something. It's always come down to that that wee hand moment, and just saying that was the best Demo Jam ever. Just seeing something totally ridiculous, and the Imagineering guys coming out and doing their little. Flash to, what was it, their little widgets to
Oh, yeah, the Jet Auto, Wing a couple of years ago, yeah.
Yeah, it was just, that was some cool stuff. It wasn't necessarily that useful, but it was cool stuff. And, look, we knew we had to get something that was not just cool, but practical and useful. And I think just coming up with an idea, we thought, you know, talking to the Ed and saying, hey, let's borrow the Enterprise Geeks logo and theme it a little bit that way. Gave us a bit of an angle to say,
I think that certainly helped, yeah.
That'll work the crowd a little bit because, you know, the Demo Jam is, you know, it's been a hot topic, Demo Jam on the Enterprise Geeks. Something which, I mean, that's partly why I was very keen to enter because I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I didn't know whether people were entering things like this, or maybe I don't know. It'd be just interesting to see how many people enter next year. Hopefully, we've sort of said that you don't have to do ridiculously. You know, you don't have to be on a project to do this. This was all done out of our own hours.
The thing that stood out for me about your entry in Demo Jam was the simplicity of it. You know, I guess in some ways, probably 6 months later, I went through the same thought bubbles that you guys went through in terms of mobile, where I was looking at, you know, especially the Apple hardware that's now becoming pervasive. You start to have a bit of a look at how do you build applications for that.
Mm.
You start at building native applications, and then you start to, as you were saying, Al, you read and you look around and you filter down through stuff. And suddenly this thing, essentially HTML, pops out the bottom.
Yeah,
sure,
it might
have a 5 on the end and a bit of JavaScript wrapped around it, but suddenly you think, you know what, that's a reasonably elegant and a reasonably robust solution, and it's a solution that's not committing you to different technologies and things like that. So when, you know, ultimately it's a simple solution. It's a simple idea. And for me, you know, what you guys were doing is again, you know, what Matt's talking about. It's pulling out the sales side of it, or the product focusing idea. It's moving Demo Jam from, hey, I'm someone who's got this great product that I want to push and get out there, to it's a simple idea that anyone can do using existing technology, or pretty much existing technology, and just show the capabilities of it. And I thought the breath of fresh air that you guys brought to Demo Jam was that it was really a simplicity layer. It wasn't we need a development team to build to code a new application that has to go through a compiler. The thing you built didn't have to go through a compiler, and that's fantastic.
My wife actually toyed with the idea, saying, you know, why are you giving away the IP to all this? And I'm saying, because it's all really easy stuff. You can do this.
Exactly.
Anyone can do this. It's just
Google search away. That's right. Exactly.
I mean, yeah, sure, there's some skill sets there, but I mean, I reckon picking up, I think, you know, you get the Google Web Toolkit stuff coming out in the future with when it gets offline, or the new Adobe tools will come out, will make this much easier to do, of course. But yeah, it's there today to do if you want to do it.
Yeah, and I know there's probably been, maybe 3-4 blogs on HTML5 since Demo Jam now. Different people have been talking about different applications and what they've done with them. Somebody talking about Manifest the other day, and there's been, you know, it's obviously, you know, got people thinking about what they can do, and people are trying to, you know, stand and play with it, which is great. You know, I guess that's what we were hoping to sort of get out of it, you know, by being there, sort of encourage people to go out and actually do some stuff. So.
And there was a close call. At one stage, you just didn't know whether this was going to be good enough. So I did the discussion with Craig. I think we got to a point where we're saying, should we spend time doing this or not? You know, getting shot down at first by Craig because we went with the technology idea without the use case, because we thought that was the easy bit, the use case. We can come up with lots of scenarios how to use an offline web app, we just thought it was cool that you could do this stuff, but then got shot down without the idea. But once we came up with just a quick idea and everyone bought into it, that was when it really took off, I suppose, to say, yes, we're entering this.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, I think we kind of hope we get in, but I don't think we actually kind of thought, you know, we were this hugely technical sort of... I mean, I don't think any of us really knew, you know, what the judges were going to be looking for. So, you know, it was wonderful that we, you know, got the opportunity to do it. So, but yeah, I think you know, sort of like, you know, everything sort of came together. So you know, obviously mobile was big, and you know, Sapper's got to focus on a bunch of stuff. So for somebody to bring the HTML5 thing, it was probably the right time, you know, to be sort of saying, and by the way, there's this stuff out there as well. And I think there was even another discussion today. I think I saw was it John Appleby? I thought we were talking about mobile and other types of solutions, and he was talking about HTML5 and a bunch of other stuff as well. I haven't listened to it, so I'm just guessing from the byline or so. But everybody's talking. So you know, even with sideways on one end of the spectrum, you can then go lightweight on the other. I guess somewhere there you've got to fit, you know, custom, you know, Objective-C development as well. But you know, you get the picture.
And so the one thing that really influenced me earlier on is the whole Sapphire announcements that came out, the focus on the 4.6 and above with the HANA and the, you know, I think it was SAP focusing again on their core customers and not just rolling out new stacks everywhere. That was like a key decision in our design as well. So, I mean, yeah. the gateway is something unique that's coming out, of course, which, of course, this would fit on top of just as
absolutely
easily.
Absolutely. Isn't it amazing how seamlessly Project Gateway things can sit underneath the sort of prototype you guys built?
Yeah, you're just consuming a different type of data, but yeah, absolutely. Same concept, absolutely same concept.
How can develop your REST gateway today?
Yeah, well, we can, but I guess, you know, obviously the gateway is based on, they're talking about data, but yeah, so, you know, we're just moving to a different data format, but absolutely same concept.
No BDCs were used in this demo, by the way.
Yeah.
No BDCs were harmed during the recording of this podcast.
No, they were removed.
So I saw the influence, Al, even back at the Mastering SAP Technologies in March. So I watched you present and prepare for the floor plan manager presentation. I watched some of the discussions with Oliver Mayer. I watched some of the discussions with the other thought leaders around, and even Matt with a couple of side discussions with Ingo. I think a lot of the seeds were sown there. And then from there, a couple of coffee shop discussions and a couple of small prototypes on the Enhancement Pack 1, I think led to, I think the nucleus of what was to be the winning entry. And then if I can mention the meeting that we had with Kai Vandeleu, if you ever needed a catalyst, when Kai came to town and he spent 1 hour with us, Rob, I don't know if you heard, we caught Kai in Melbourne in between meetings. So one of my mates from SAP rang and he said, you want to come and talk to the CTO? He knows stuff. So I rounded up the whole acclimation team and we went down there and we had sandwiches with him for an hour over a whiteboard. And he put the whole concept of gateway and complementary apps and where he thinks the technology is going. And he really left a mark on one or two within the group, especially on Al. So on the way back, he said, you know, I think I've got something to add to the Demo Jam entry. And he went away and they discussed it with Matt. And they brought in, I think, a lot of the concepts that Kai was advertising to us at the time. And that, if there was any one single moment where I actually saw it change from something which might be to something which might win, was the point where we had the discussions with him. Al and Matt took it away. And then we actually wrote an email to Ed Herman saying, we're thinking of putting this in. What do you think? And remember, Al, the response from Ed. We just wanted, you know, it's okay, buddy. It's not so bad. And he writes back, it might win. It was a pretty positive reply from the Ed. So that was another source of influence for the lads to take it even a step further. So I think the influence from the community helped to shape it a lot. So they never developed it in a vacuum, nor did they just read a couple of books and say, oh, yeah, we'll just do this. So they were subject to a lot of influences which come through SDN, which come through Twitter, and which come through leaning on people in the community. So, you know, in particular, Kai. I can mention Oliver Mayer, Ed Herman, Ingo, even to an extent, Thomas Jung. There was a couple of really fruitful discussions with those guys.
Not to forget Craig as well.
And of course, yeah, Craig is one tough customer, but if you can convince Craig, you really have got something good. So he plays quite an important part to shape something to make it, I think, to make it worthy of the show, which is Demo Jam. So obviously you have to have a good foundation, but it's the show, you know?
Absolutely. Actually, I'd like to ask you guys, if you can, just to expand on how Craig manages sort of not just the submission process, but on through the rehearsal and the whole things like that. If you could just share your thoughts on the
rehearsal with an iron fist, Robbo.
I know, but our audience doesn't know.
Trade secrets to Craig, this.
What the goings on inside the rehearsal?
Yeah, you know what he does and what he does to prepare you. It's just pretty heavy duty.
Yeah, well, I guess the point is that, you know, he's putting on a show, so, I mean, a show is no good without rehearsal and without, you know, at least having some idea what's going to happen. Now, obviously, you know, what happens in the 6 minutes when you're on stage is pretty much up to you, but, you know, he has a show to produce and he does it properly. He's very professional and you run through, what did we do, Tony, maybe 3 times, 4 times? We had problems, we had technical issues.
We did 2 times, yeah, that's all we had.
Did we? Oh, we did a lot off to the side, but yeah.
We only had 2 times all up. It was pretty impressive in the end.
Can we talk about the failure of the video card in the Mac? Did that really happen?
Oh, no. I don't think it was the Mac that failed, but it was certainly the Mac went into sleep mode and it never came back up with the plugged-in cable.
I'll give you a hint. On a stage where you're doing like a big presentation to everyone set up, don't unplug things and start to charge your phone at the same time.
Oh, that's right.
Craig was not impressed.
Right. Yeah, he also tried to keep me away from the coffee machine, which is never a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, can we give away one trade secret? You know the voiceover when it says, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Jam." Can we let the cat out of the bag, Matt?
That is actually Tony doing that voice.
There is not a dude who does it. It's a recorded friggin' voice, and they played it over and over.
But we did see him recording it, though, Tony. We did see him backstage recording his bit.
Oh boy!
He's got a lovely voice.
And there was a bunch of gaffer tape on the ground where you must stand here, do not stand here, the camera will be here, do not walk over this wire. And even
what you have to do with the camera.
Even how they let you onto the stage. So it's not like you can walk up the rails and just, wander on. These guys had to go behind the black curtain. Al, tell me about the black curtain.
Oh, mate, the black curtain was very important because the black curtain's where we got the really trendy microphones. The man got to, you know, tuck the microphone cord under your pants and that was very exciting.
Yeah, the biggest lesson we learned about Demo Jam on the night is that beers stop as soon as you win.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, Matt had the forethought to actually get beers before they announced the winner. So
as you know,
the only two with beers was from some well-planned execution there.
And no, Graham, we weren't going to drink it out of the cup.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed that you didn't drink it out of the cup.
I am too.
We thought about
it. That is my biggest regret.
It would have been sensational on that wonderful new crystal trophy.
They would never invite us back, but that is my only regret for the entire evening is that we did not put beer in the cup.
I wish we... Yeah, it feels funny. They should have given... Next year they have to have little versions of it so you can at least take some memento of it home.
The mini cup.
You know how we got the BO Explorer into the Demo Jam?
Good call, yeah,
come on. That was actually something that was quite interesting because, you know, Al calls up out of the blue and says, "Oh, it's really cool. I think it was an email. I just said, look, you know, I pushed this XML straight out to the cloud and got this Business Object Explorer thing happening directly out of Solution Manager." It was just this simple little, well, possibly not that simple, but simple little development which just made use of this Business Object on Demand. On-demand stuff, and I thought, we've got to have that in our demo. So that was one of those things that wasn't part of our submission, but do I reckon that was a nice little touch to the demo.
We cooked that up while we were doing our garage, Tony, which I'm sure you're going to talk about soon, but we sort of said, and what about analytics? And it went from there, didn't it?
But how about, can we tell the listeners, I think the one of the most exciting things I saw was during the innovation weekend, how you guys hadn't quite got the link to business objects going right. So you wanted a couple of small touches. So I remember asking Kai, "Hey, buddy, we've got this thing. We just need a little bit of help for this thing here." And he goes, "Business objects?" He goes, "Yes." And he introduced us to Miko Yuk.
Yes.
And she spent, you know, 15 minutes pouring her knowledge out right in front of you. And then you moved over to a flip chart and you showed her. And you got to the limit of her knowledge, right? And then you said, "Look, we almost got it, not quite. We need a bit more." So I said, "Right." So I got in and I said, "Ingo, this is what we need." And he's going, "RSS." He's going, you know. So he's getting me to be a broker to translate between Al and him. And I'm saying, "Look, Ingo, I can't do this." You need to come into the innovation room during the break and you need to speak to the source. So he's wandered in there and he had the solution before he went on the stage, I think less than 24 hours before it was to be presented. Al, is that fair?
We would have knocked it out just before the end of the innovation weekend. But Rob over there to carry the load for us, so that was
all right. Can I kind of clarify also, we did have it working in a scenario that was the push scenario, but we had to go to the RSS feed scenario because of firewall limitation crap.
Oh, no, it was almost, but Matt's absolutely right. When we originally had it pushing to BI, but the cloud server we have would not, the secure store is broken on it, so we couldn't actually make an SSL connection to BI on demand. So the solution was to pull the data. So we would have pushed, but the push was failing, and, you know, we couldn't solve the problem with the secure store, so we went, what else can we do? Well, the BI on demand will pull. So how do we do a pull? We need an RSS feed, so we need to write that. So that was what we were working on the Sunday, Monday at Ticket. It was sort of on the fly, but then it all came together and worked really well. So, and sort of, you know, it was a nice little bit of I guess, add-in to the solution.
And there was a little bit of an overheard conversation about augmented reality. And then Al picked up on this, and he sort of looked over to Matt, and he goes, you know, there's enough time to put that in. And Matt goes, but we won't have time to test it. And Al said, it'll work.
Another factor when we talk about past demo jams is the fact that Al, half the time's done half the things that people have. You know, I'm not the sort of guy that plays with PLC controllers, but Al is. So we can't talk about your latest thing, Al, just yet.
What's my latest thing, yeah?
I'm sure you'll be bringing that up at Demo Jam in Australia this year.
I don't know whether it's going to be a Demo Jam one, but certainly something I'm going to bring in the office, show Tony on Thursday.
Yes, there's more stuff being cooked up in Al's workshop.
My little shed now. I've moved my daughter in and live with my son, so I've got some space.
So, folks, thanks for listening all the way to the end of part one. I've got part two and part three coming up in future instalments. So if I can just get an opinion from the crowd. So, what did you think of part one?
Tony, it's got to stop one here. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. Too many people. Oh, no. Oh, no.
That was...
You did. Oh, no. Dude, way too many people around here for that.
So it looks like there's way too many people. But don't worry. Next one will be a lot better, I promise. Thanks for listening.